Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Let's go to Cameron here on 97.1. Hello, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, so I was calling, I believe Gator's the big WWE guy. So I'm going to be in Vegas at WrestleMania for both nights.
Wow.
And I will be wearing my Pistons stuff on Friday, though.
Why? So
were you wearing wrestling stuff on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll probably wear the wrestling stuff Saturday and Sunday, but I have to represent for the Pistons playoffs on Friday.
So let me make sure I understand this. The WrestleMania is not just 2 days. It's 3 days? It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Well, he's going out there. It's Vegas. You go early. He'll be out there.
Yeah.
You're leaving on Friday to go to Vegas.
You're wearing your Pistons stuff for travel.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, I'll be leaving Thursday, and then Friday night I'll go to the casino, wear a Pistons shirt or something, and, you know, represent Detroit.
Sweet. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gator, are you watching WrestleMania?
Evan asked me that before the show. I will probably catch some of it because it's a Netflix thing now. I think Netflix or Peacock, one of the two, so I can watch that. I'm not thrilled with the main event on Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More interested in Sunday, but I'll probably tune in here and there. I like AEW a little bit more than I like WWE, but I still watch some of it. So. I'm intrigued. What are you gonna wear on Saturday night?
Saturday night, I'm thinking I gotta wear a WWE shirt, but I want to represent Detroit and Michigan any way I can. So maybe like a John Cena shirt or maybe a Tiger shirt. I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
I like Tigers better.
Are you getting a suite?
Mm-hmm, Tigers, okay.
He's not getting
no suite. I'll probably get like something on floor level, maybe like something further back.
You don't have tickets yet?
No, they're expensive. They're going like 2-3K, so I'm trying to wait last second to purchase them.
Okay, all right, I see. Otherwise it's just a nice trip to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'll be going either way if I have to kind of commit to that. But you know, I'm going to try to get a big deal if I can,
or win a lot of money on Friday night so you can afford the tickets on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep, I'll put a lot of money on the Pistons, and we'll pay for them that way, right?
There you go. There you go. Mm-hmm. Have a great time.
Mm, thank you, guys.
So that's this weekend. So Saturday night, he'll be at WrestleMania and not watching the Pistons.
That's correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Kenny, do they do the Hall of Fame induction on Friday night?
I was under the assumption that they do SmackDown and then right after is the Hall of Fame ceremony.
And do we know who's being inducted in the Hall of Fame yet?
I read who it was. I can't remember off the dome, but yeah, that's going to happen.
I think Sting is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Would you stop?
Doug, are you shocked that Sting's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame?
I didn't expect it.
Why?
Because I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
The wrong answer.
That is the wrong answer.
First ballot. That's why. First ballot. See, a first ballot guy.
Well, he just spent so little time in the WWE, that's why it's controversial for him to be in the Hall of Fame, but it's a kind of a pro wrestling thing.
Hence.
Yeah, right.
Hello. All right, so 248-539-9797. Tigers get shut out, lose 5-0. Offense was non-existent. Is there reason to be concerned?
Well, there shouldn't be. It's one game, all right? And they won the previous night 9-1. Mm-hmm. But to quote Bob Uecker from Major League, as best I can, one hit, one blinking hit, that's it? Mm-hmm. That's all we got? Mm-hmm. One hit last night. What?
Yep.
I mean, it was an epic fail in all facets of the game. Jack Flaherty did not have it going on. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but he gave up 3 runs and looked like he just didn't have control. After the game, looked like somebody had murdered his dog, and he was not happy about it. I hate to put it that way, but it just wasn't. He was very upset with himself and how he pitched. The team, like I said, one hit.
They have warning track power.
They did
it. Really, so they did. I mean,
Dingler
track
clocked
power.
The ball, and so did Torkelson. Both hit like the deepest part of the park.
Yeah.
But not out. It's great when you can hit it 400 feet, but if you're not pulling it more down the lines, you're asking for a fly ball. The defense let them down a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Ibanez just threw it. They had a couple bad plays. Let's just say that. And that wasn't good at third base, and he was, you know, a late insert into the game. So this is one of those that, to quote Kang's daughter, yuck, throw it in the garbage.
Yeah. It was kind of that game. I mean, Flaherty, it's funny. I would describe him as not sharp based upon what we've come to expect from him. Right. I mean, it's not,
well, he didn't make it out of the fifth.
Yeah. And you know, struggled, and more guys got on base than he probably would have preferred. And strikeout numbers weren't there. It just was what it was. It was one of those nights. You know, we asked questions, and we had I don't think it's much reason to be concerned. It was a lackluster game. These happen in the course of a season. We all know that it comes down to, does this become in any way the norm? So it's first time Torque has followed up an offer with another offer, and we weren't at a point where we thought that's never going to happen, but it is definitely. You know, one of the things that happened last year is when the wheels came off, they came way, way, way off for Spencer Torkelson. And, you know, this is how do you bounce back? How do you respond? How do you deal with the ups and downs? And you also always kind of have to wonder a little bit whether or not any team has figured anything out that others will copy.
Well, he looked a little off balance at times yesterday. So the whole Tigers team. If he were the only one, I'd be concerned about that. But everybody was. I'm more concerned about Riley Green. This is one for his last 28 now. Mm-hmm. And add 3 more strikeouts to the total. It's getting to be kind of gross. And it's not good. He had the day off before and just, I don't know, wasn't there today or last night. I wonder if he'll be in the lineup this afternoon. Haven't seen the lineup yet, but they're going against a crafty left-hander, veteran Jose Quintana. So I don't know if he'll be in the lineup against the lefty, but maybe he needs to have a day off before they come back home, because he's been horrible. Just, I mean, completely outmatched, and it doesn't look right.
We talk a lot about how, you know, the guys got to pick each other up, and, you know, when one guy plays bad, what they've gotten a lot more out of Baez hit a ball. Scalded a ball that was just a hard out, but you know, they got more out of Baez, they got more out of Torque, they got more out of McKinstry they ever could have imagined. And what's great about that is they've picked up what they've been able to pick up other guys who are struggling. I think, though, if you zoom out and look at the 30,000 foot picture, it's hard to imagine them doing much of anything if Riley Green doesn't get back to form.
Well, that's a big one.
I mean, you try not to overreact to one guy's struggles, but if he doesn't return to form, I'm not sure how far they're gonna go.
Yeah, it's 17 games into the season, but I mean, this 1-for-28 stretch, that's a huge stretch. His average has come down to 219 now in the season. He's not drawing walks either, but the strikeout totals are absolutely alarming for Riley Green at this point. So needs to flush it out and figure a better approach and clear his head and be the all-star player that he is, because he's absolutely a stud player in this league, and they need him to be that. And if you're right, if he's not, this offense is really going to take a hit. But it's one game that we look at from last night, but with Riley Green, it's a bigger sample size than that. He got off to a really nice start for the season and has been awful since.
Is there something in their contracts that say Torque and Green can't be good at the same time?
There might be.
Seriously, man.
Yeah.
I thought these guys were friends.
It's funny.
Best friends.
Because I mentioned this earlier in the week. There was a sense last year when they were, you know, we thought of them as the cornerstones, right? They're going to hit 3-4 for a bunch of years. And last year, Riley Green was an all-star and Torque got sent down. And I wondered what those interactions were like. Like, they were going to be Batman and Robin. They were going to be that 1-2 combo. And what was Green saying to Torque? Keep your chin up. And now 1 year later, it's inverted.
Yeah, they're going to be hitting 3-4 for years to come, but one's going to be in Toledo and one's going to be for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Just switching back and forth.
Hope that's not the case. 248-539-9797. We're going to get to the Tigers here a little bit. They are in action this afternoon. Lyon explains a little bit why he changed his number. We'll get to that today at 11:30. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Plus, they have white glove customer service. It's something they take great pride in, and they choose to take on fewer cases than other law firms. They take on fewer on purpose. It means they have more time for your case, and that formula leads to faster and larger settlements for their clients. People who call Michigan Auto Law because they can't get a call back from their current law firm. Proactive communication is super important to them. Michigan Auto Law returns all phone calls within 24 hours. You will get a call back from them. Michigan Auto Law, the law firm that puts people over everything. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Listless Tiger performance last night. One hit, one single solitary hit from Gleyber Torres. It was a double, though, but there were some hard-hit balls. Look, it was one of those nights, and this is going to happen throughout the course of the season, but Dingler gave one a ride. Torkelson gave one a ride. Baez absolutely smoked a ball, but was right at the left fielder Churio. So, okay, happens.
Somebody else hit one right up the middle that almost decapitated the pitcher.
Yeah.
But the shortstop was played right there. It was like the shift without being the shift.
Yeah.
Was able to just pick it off and throw him out easily. I'm like, damn it.
Yep.
But, yeah, they couldn't get it going yesterday. Hopefully they get it going today. Against a lefty, Quintana's only made one start this year, and he pitched awfully well. But throughout his career, it's not like he's new to the league. I think he's 36 years old or something like that. So he's been around, been to a number of different teams. You know what you're getting. He's a left-handed pitcher. Let's see if the right-handed bats can enjoy this. It'd be nice to see Torkelson get back after, like you mentioned, back-to-back offers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dingler would be in the lineup, but I'd like to see him back in there. Maybe not throwing the ball to second base, because that seemed to be a problem.
God, he almost drilled Flaherty twice.
Yeah,
and throws down to second.
You know, and they were referencing how that's Milwaukee's game. If they get a guy on first base, they're trying to send him to second base. They'd like to apply pressure, and I like that style and brand of baseball. If you have the players to do it, the Tigers don't really have those players to steal bases as much. But Milwaukee tries it. But I'd like to see Dingler in the lineup again today, because he, you know, right-handed against a left-hander, and he can crush the ball. We've seen him crush the ball, and he crushed it last night just for an out.
One of the great things about sports is that when you're watching, sometimes you see something and you wonder, has that ever happened before? And last night, the Tiger game, we did get that, has that ever happened before? It was in the seventh inning. Milwaukee was threatening. I think they had first and third, and there was a ground ball to Torkelson.
Yeah.
And Torkelson tried to get the runner at second. I mean, there was a chance that it was going to be a double play.
Yeah, he was trying for the double play. Yeah.
So he picks up the ground ball, and the base runner, I forget who it was you know, running from first to second and was kind of in the line of where Torkelson was throwing. Torkelson threw it and hit the base runner, which I've seen. That has happened.
Sure, before. Yeah.
But here's what I have not seen.
Right.
The ball hit him in the shoulder, popped up in the air, and Trey Sweeney, who was on second base, stretched and caught the ball off the base runner in time for the force out. So it was a throw from Torque, hit the runner, popped in the air, and got to Sweeney anyway for the out. I've never seen that before.
I had not. You don't typically see the ball, once it hits a player like that in that situation, continue to go forward.
Yep.
But that's what happened.
It deflected up in the air. I think Benetti called it popcorned up in the air, which was an accurate description. And there it was.
That was something.
Every once in a while, you see something, you go, I've never seen that before.
Oh.
Yep. So.
Unfortunately, allowed a run to score.
Yeah, and it also didn't matter.
No, it did not. Well, it doesn't matter if you're only going to get one hit in a baseball game.
Yeah, it'd be cathartic to see one of those like 7-run, 16-hit kind of games today.
Just
one of those reminders. Hey, all good.
100%.
All good. And Keiter Montero getting the start.
Yeah, this is interesting. So A.J. Hinch has decided he wants to get, because they play like 23 games in 24 days or something.
Yep.
So he wants to be able to give the guys in a rotation a break. Like delay everything by, almost get everybody gets a day off, delay everything by a day. So Keiter Montero gets the start. Reese Olson will start in tomorrow's game. But it's interesting. They end up sending down, was it Herder that they sent down?
Oh, it's Hanafy.
Hanafy. One of the H's. Send him down. Not sure how long that's going to be that he'll be sent down for, because Montero may make a second start. He hasn't committed to that. A.J. Hinch hasn't committed to that. But if he does, based, you know, I said yesterday that you had the back-to-back bad outings from Maeda. And I thought, well, it's way too early to say, all right, he's done. But then I hear that Montero's being brought up. And I thought, they're not going to send Montero down already, are they? And they're not. But, you know, who deserves to be on this roster?
So it got me thinking a little bit that there is an element of preservation that they have to consider with Jackson Jobe. In that Jackson Jobe, I think we looked it up earlier this year, the most innings he's thrown in a season is 90-something. Let me double-check that. I'm pretty sure I remember it being 90-something. But, Scott, in an effort to stretch Jobe as deep as they can in the season, Montero might play a significant role here in absorbing some starts between now and the postseason to try and keep Jobe as fresh as possible, as long as possible. So you kind of talk about players that might be underrated on their impact on a season that has some premium when they're trying to do some stuff. Keiter Montero might be one of those guys that, hey, don't forget about him, because his ability to give them innings, have some success, and preserve Jobe, if not preserve everybody, but I think specifically Jobe would be one that, it's hard to imagine that they're ready to give Jobe 200 innings.
Yeah, they're not. Not at all. I'm curious how close to, you know, 140 he's going to get.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is, it's nice to have a guy like Montero that can, but, you know, it's not like Montero's pitched a ton either. He's pitched more in his minor league career, but, you know, how many, is he going to be on an innings count? Between Toledo and Detroit. But they're going to find guys periodically throughout the year, whether it's Montero or it's Maeda or it's Matt Manning, who started last night. I know we're looking to see if he's going to pitch on the bullpen, but he started last night, did not pitch well, got hit a little bit again. But whoever it is, they're going to be spot starts to give Jackson Jobe a rest for sure. And probably the same thing, maybe to an extent, for Casey Mize.
Yeah, and so the number, by the way, the number on Jobe is 91 and two-thirds. That's the most pitches, most innings he has thrown in a season. And, you know, as a starter in a major league roster, you want to have him. If he's going to be good, how do you get him to September? You know, how do you get him to September without having a dramatic jump in terms of his innings? Montero might be the guy. And as far as Manning's concerned, they might want to seriously look at reprogramming Manning. You know, this might be a career reboot out of the bullpen and see if he can be effective in that role. And that could be your, if things keep going south for Maeda, that could be your next move. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. And A.J. Hinch said it when they were trying to cut down to the roster. Guys, this is where we are for now. I'm just thinking about the next series. But there'll be lots of moves made along the way.
Yes, there will.
And so we're just absorbing it all. Bounce back game today. Cutter Montero getting the start for the Tigers. 248-539-9797. All right, uniform number changes in the NFL became a big story, and the Lions had a bunch of them. And it, quite frankly, the reaction it got, I don't know if it was simply limited to those that purchased jerseys, so it might be the kind of deal that impacts a smaller percentage of Detroiters, but those that it impacts are pissed about it. I do want to get into, because one of the players explained why he did it, and you know, I want to get into that a little bit, and we will, coming up today at 11:31. It's Carson Anderson. Just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket, anywhere in the United States. Same thing through our website, 971theticket.com. Stream with video using twitch.tv and youtube.com. We've got streaming chat on both those sites. You can watch the show and then participate in the streaming chat. Sometimes we read those things on the air. So, all different ways you could take it in, and follow us on Twitter at Duggan Gator 971. Let's talk some Lions next here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, during the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all new customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on anything with that $250, from three-pointers to steals to assists. If you want to go prop bets, you can also just bet point spreads, money, you know, lines. You can bet over-unders. And remember this, after games tip off, you can combine your live prop bets into same-game parlays for a chance to win big. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the NBA play-in tournament action. More games tonight. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, so, you know, it was a big story when it came out, the Lions players changing their jerseys, the biggest ones of which were J-Mo going from 9-1, Jahmyr Gibbs going from 26-0, Terrion Arnold going from 0-6. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that part of the storyline is definitely the people buy jerseys. And they do want them to be authentic, and they do like to have, you know, the player's actual number, and, you know, you're honoring that guy in many ways and saying, hey, I'm rooting for you. You're my guy. Let's go. But when you change the number, it can be irksome. People can get irritated when the number gets changed. And you're like, hey, what are you doing? You were my guy. This was my jersey. And that makes people either feel compelled. Well, some of the reaction we got when this story came out was some people were saying, I'm never getting a jersey ever again, or I want my money back, or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Terrion Arnold says he's changing his number to honor his late friend and teammate at Bama, Kyrie Jackson. He was killed in a car accident. He was with the Vikings, right? But he was killed in a car accident. And, you know, I'm glad to see him come out and explain it and talk about one of the reasons why, for those that it doesn't sit well with. They have every right to change their jersey, okay? They do, and they weren't the first players that did it. It seems to happen more frequently now than it did in the past. I don't know that you can really begrudge a guy if he's doing it for that reason. That feels like an honorable reason.
Really hard to do that.
Yep. So as you know, maybe that helps with the explanation here a little bit. In terms of, you know, why it was done, and maybe maybe a little bit of grace. You know, if you had a Terrion Arnold Sub-Zero jersey and you're upset about it, at least that explains it a little bit, right?
Oh, it totally explains it. And once you hear the explanation, you can't complain about that. Not for that reason.
No.
I mean, and really, kind of for any reason. I mean, I get the people, they invested in a jersey, and then they see the player change the number. You're like, oh, come on, man. I get that. But, and they don't have to give any reason. They can say, well, I like this number better. You know, it wasn't available to me when I first got into the league, and I always wanted it. Now it is, and I'm going to take it. Fans can say they don't like it or whatever. But when somebody comes out and says, I'm honoring a friend of mine who died, I think it kind of, STFU, right?
Or at least say, okay, well, that's, I can get on board with that. You know, my my kids, like, I thought it was really cool. I always wore 22 in hockey, the number 22, and my kids, when they started playing and got to choose numbers, the two oldest, right out of the gate, chose 22. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Here we go.
I was like a proud dad in that moment, right? And then the oldest changed it to number 19 because that was for the passing of his Aunt Carol, and her favorite number was 19.
Great reason.
And I was like, that's awesome. And my youngest I don't think he ever wore 22, but he chose 7 because that was his Grimary's favorite number, and she had passed. And there I'm like, I can be all on board with that. My daughter stuck with 22 all throughout. I'm not going to say I'm not proud of that. I'm proud of that. But, you know, I mean, kids, I thought it was cool. And maybe, you know, if anybody out there chose a number to honor someone, you can relate to what Terrion Arnold's doing here. 248-539-9797. Did you choose your number to honor a cowboy? Dallas Cowboy?
The first year I played football, I chose the number 54 because of Randy White.
Yeah.
Which
I think is great. Yeah. That a kid it's like me growing up as a Tony Gwynn fan, I guess. Kid in Detroit grows up worshiping Randy White of the Dallas Cowboys. Why did you worship Randy White?
I don't know.
He was a defensive lineman.
I think the reason was because when I first started watching football was the 77 football season when I was just a wee little lad.
Yeah.
And they made the Super Bowl against the Broncos, and they beat the Broncos, I think, 27-10 that year. Randy White and Harvey Martin, the other defensive lineman, they were co-MVPs of the game. So he got on my radar. I was collecting football cards. I had a Randy White football card that was, you know, his rookie card. And all of a sudden, I just became a Randy White fan. I was a Cowboy fan. Loved Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach. Loved those teams. Not everybody did, but I did. So it was easy for me to just kind of latch on to that. It didn't last, you know, when I was playing through high school. Because 54 was a tighter jersey on me.
Didn't fit.
Yeah. It wasn't like you could, we'll make a double XL jersey and whatever number you want. No, they handed you a jersey and you could ask for a number, but if it wasn't going to fit, it wasn't going to fit. Eventually I settled on a 72 when I was a senior. But
was there a reason for that?
There was no. The only reason was it fit.
All right.
That was the reason. The previous year I was given 71. I thought I was going to wear 71, but somebody else had that. So I went 72. And then afterwards I was able to reconcile it by saying, yeah, Ed Too Tall Jones. But I didn't really care about Ed Too Tall Jones.
248-539-9797. Ethan, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Ethan.
Fellas, it's been a minute. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to chime in real quick about this jersey thing. And I think there are some nuances to it that, you know, it obviously the Terrion Arnold thing, what you guys were talking about with him wanting to represent, you know, a friend of his who passed away, that's a little bit of a different story. And I think we can all agree that that's totally fine. He can do that. However, I have Jahmyr Gibbs' jersey, and I said after the Lions drafted him, I was like, if this dude's nasty, I'm getting his jersey, because I was so flabbergasted by that draft pick. And I was just like, there's no way this guy's going to live up to a first round pick. Well, you know, foot in my mouth. Thank you, Brad Holmes.
Right.
Fantastic draft pick. And I ended up buying his jersey. Now, the Lions just got brand new jerseys this past year. I love them. I love the blue jerseys. I got a Jahmyr Gibbs blue jersey, and it kind of sucks that, you know, he had that number for 1 year or 2 years, and only one in the new jersey. And now it's like zero will probably be his number for the rest of his career and probably be what he's remembered as. And, you know, I spent really good money on that jersey. They're not cheap. And I got the nicer of the two that they sell. So it just kind of sucks from a consumer perspective, mm-hmm. To have something like that. I'm not, you know, kicking and screaming or anything like that. But the first thing that popped into my mind was, like, I have three little boys. And if one of them had wanted his jersey and I got it for him for Christmas or whatever, that's not a small investment. You know, it's a good chunk of money. And if I was a parent and that happened and now the kids are seeing, oh, well, he got a new number, I want to get his new thing, you know, whatever. It kind of sucks from that perspective. And I think, you know, it doesn't happen a ton, but you're right, Doug. It does seem to happen more now.
Yeah. And I mean, your line, your approach to this is, this kind of sucks, is I think appropriate. It's part of when a player changes a number, the fans that have latched on to that guy, and you typically buy the jersey of the player that you really, really like. Well, now their jersey's outdated. Now, does it become a throwback, a vintage? I was on board early. I mean, do you wear it with a badge of pride that way?
I do think there is an element of that, especially with Gibbs. Like, if I could find a way to get him to sign that jersey, like, hey, you know, I was riding with Jahmyr Gibbs from day one.
Right.
I've got the 26.
Which is funny, you know, because the reason you got it's funny, as your story goes, the reason you got it is because you weren't riding with him. You were so mad about the pick, but then you were wrong, yeah. And so you're like, I'll eat the crow and buy the jersey.
At the draft party, I swear to you guys, at the draft party, I said out loud to everybody there, I was like, if this guy's sick, I will buy his jersey at the end of the year. Well, I waited until the new jerseys came out. It was the very first thing I got.
Yeah.
The new Lions gear came out.
Yeah. I don't think his complaint is invalid, and I think his approach is right. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, it is what it is. But he's not alone. Plenty of other people did the same thing, and this is the new thing in sports. One of the new things in sports. Players are going to be doing this all the time.
I just looked down at Twitch and somebody tried to spin it for Ethan to make him maybe feel better about it. Rise wrote in, you were OG repping him. So you consider himself an OG because you got the original jersey?
Or all the people that buying it on discount now, they're not OGs.
No, right. They're not. That's a good point.
Is it trying to get rid of all the money. Inventory? Yeah.
Oh, we got so lucky because my oldest wanted a Jahmyr Gibbs jersey. He wanted the black, and the sale popped up maybe a month and a half ago, and we were like, okay, let's go ahead and get him as a gift. And I got him in and got him a large, and we sent it off to him, and he was going to wear it around D.C. where he's living now, and he put it on. He said, you know, it does fit. Problem is, when I wear this, I'm going to wear it outside with like a sweatshirt underneath. I actually want an extra large. So he then sent it back and we ordered an extra large and that showed up and I hadn't sent it to him yet. It was sitting at our house when the announcement came out his jersey was being switched. We still fortunately had time to just return it for full price.
Wow.
Which is really lucky. Like that whole sequence.
Very lucky.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think the caller said it best. As a consumer, it sucks.
Yep.
It does. I mean, yeah, the players have the right to do this, obviously. They can do it whenever, within the limits of this, you know, what the league says, whenever they want. But they're millionaires, and the everyday fan is not a millionaire. And this is more, it hurts their pocketbook more than, you know what I mean, than a millionaire's mm-hmm. pocketbook. So when they have to eat the cost of a jersey, and he's absolutely right, these things are not cheap, especially if you get the nice ones. That's, hey, you're just eating the money at this point. I think people are upset because there's always a chance of player movement, but it feels like players don't stick with anything anymore. And this even goes to the, you know, college, right? Like people jumping around and then the pros jumping around and teams and numbers. And it just adds on to it again. Like, hey.
The new world order is don't expect things to stay the same.
Absolutely.
At any level.
Change is inevitable.
Speaking of which, price raise. I want to see how you feel about it, Gator. Something's gone up in price. Nobody ever likes that, but I'm wondering if it means
Inflation?
Yeah, are you out?
Okay.
We'll get to that today at 11:50. Hey, it's Doug Karsh. Check out the spring savings at Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights. Lease a new 2025 Chevy Equinox LT for just $289 a month for 36 months with $1,999 down, $289. Go now to 17.5 in Van Dyke in Sterling Heights, 87-SAY-SARAH or saysarah.com. Together, let's drive with GM employee discount and lease in the household, 10,000 miles per year plus taxes and fees with approved credit. Offer ends at the end of the month. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox regarding Terron Arnold switched his number and he said he's doing an honor of a late teammate guy who played with Obama, Kyrie Jackson, killed in a car accident. He's going from 0 to 6. And I think it's good to get that out there because some fans that bought jerseys got pretty frustrated. To have the authentic one and then it's deemed out of date. But here's some of the feedback. Give me the old times when the players never changed unless they were into a different team. The not-so-fun league cracks down on some crazy things, but not this. Well, moves merch. Jeff and Pontiac, the number 0 is not a number. It's the absence of a number and shouldn't be allowed in any sport. Jeff, I have an issue with the number 0. I do not like the number 0. I think Gator, it was you that finally articulated it in a way that made sense to me, that helped me, and it was, that's the number we use before we start counting.
Right.
Anyone outraged J-Mo changed his number? Are we forgetting he literally said, give me that Uno when Okuda got cut? Ha ha. That's from Will. You can dig out your old Jim Arnold, the punter from way back in the day. He wore number 6, so the 6 Arnold jersey is current again.
There you go.
Arnold, if you have a 6 Jim Arnold jersey, it works for Terron Arnold. What are the odds?
Yeah, well, that's would not match up in terms of the style of the jersey anymore. But hats off to you if you got a Jim Arnold jersey from the 90s.
Mike in Waterford writes in, I'm sorry, but anyone outside of a child's age that complains about players' number changing, it's time to grow up so they don't have the same number. Wah.
I kind of agree with that.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's the $300+ that they're about.
Yeah,
it's not like... If you didn't buy a jersey, yeah, that's wah. I think the people that spent the money, that's what.
But no one's going to look at you at the stadium if you're wearing your 26 Jahmyr Gibbs jersey and go, oh, man, you're an idiot. You got to change it.
But I'll tell you right now, I got a buddy of mine who just got a Amon-Ra St. Brown jersey autographed framed, okay? And he was debating between Jahmyr Gibbs and St. Brown. This is before the number change.
Mm-hmm.
He told me had it been Gibbs, he'd want his money back. That's how upset he would be. That ain't cheap, man.
No, but that's, I mean, it's a difference between, are you buying a jersey to wear a jersey or are you buying a jersey so that you can frame it and have it in your house, hopefully get it autographed and give it value and then sell it someday, I suppose. I mean, there's a big difference between the two.
It's still $300+.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're, again, it's if you're buying to wear it, it sucks that the guy changed his number, but I don't think anybody looks at that person and who's wearing the 26 jersey and says, you're foolish.
He doesn't care what other people think. This is what he thinks.
that is his problem, isn't it?
All right, Scott. Something we talk about on the air quite a bit, and there's a change coming to the Mega Millions. Did you see this?
I know that they're changing the price on it.
Yes. Tickets used to cost $2.
Mm-hmm.
Price hike. Do you see the price hike?
No.
What would be a price hike where you would say, okay, I mean, you don't want anything to be risen, to raise in price, but that isn't, that you think is, where would be too much?
I don't know, $5 a ticket?
Well, that's what they're raising it to.
Why are they doing it to $5 a ticket?
Well,
I mean, I know what it'll be bigger payouts and we're going to add more payouts as well. It's not just a bigger payout, but they're going to be more payouts, correct?
So, yes, they're improving the odds, okay? The overall odds to win any prize, Gator, mm-hmm. is improving from 1-24 to 1-23. The overall odds to win the whole thing, the jackpot, has gone from 1 in 302,575,350 to 1 in 290,472,336. And that's because the new game will feature 24 mega balls instead of the current 25 mega balls.
Okay. Thank you. I think.
Yep. Gator, there is now a larger starting jackpot. When somebody wins, it resets to 50 million instead mm-hmm. of the current 20 million. Appealing?
No, I never buy tickets right off the bat. I always wait till the jackpot builds up because I can't just simply win $20 million. And now I can't simply just win 50. I won't get in until it gets to the, you know, several hundred million.
Because I'm not
a regular buyer of these tickets.
I actually think you've hit on why they did this. This is all about the restart because I think there are tons of people like you.
Oh, sure.
And so if they started at 50 million instead of 20 million, it gets up into the 100 millions quicker.
Yeah, I get it.
And so more and more frequently, the thought is, because there's no way that they haven't worked the math on this. Okay. I'm sure they've worked the math.
The whole thing's on math.
If we remove one of the 25 mega balls and make it 24 mega balls, which is a fun term.
It is fun to say mega balls.
So if you have, I'm sure they've done the math.
Isn't he in Doge?
I'm sure they've done the math. Say, we're improving the odds that somebody wins, but we're going to get to larger jackpots quicker. More people are going to buy in quicker. They're not doing it because they're trying to do us a solid.
No, I hear you. But I'm starting to think of myself, okay, if I, let's say that the jackpot gets up to $400 or $500 million. Now I'm inclined to buy tickets, right?
Yeah.
Before, I might go $10 or $20 worth if I felt really saucy. But I was getting 10 tickets if you're going with $20. Now if I give $20, I'm going to get four?
Yes.
I'm less inclined.
Yeah.
So with their plan, it probably backfires.
Okay. Kang, what about...
I'm not even sure if I'd buy any tickets.
Oh, you might be out.
I might be.
You'll be back.
Extraordinary circumstances.
The moment you said that, when those words came out of your mouth, that immediately eliminated because he will not do it now. Yeah, Kang, you might have just made the list.
Spiteful Gator?
Yeah, I think Spiteful Gator's like, the hell with
what?
That.
Yep.
Nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Nope.
Spiteful Gator? Nope. I don't understand this. What are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Run, coach. I walk.
Yeah.
Right? You see me walking out of here right now?
I came here to throw the shot put, not to run 2 miles before practice.
You showed him. I know you did.
You did show him.
Yeah.
Team suffered significantly.
We don't know that.
Yeah, we know that. I know who was throwing shot put.
So you think you would have been the best at shot put in your school. You walked away, and it was the team that suffered.
There's no question I would have been the best at shot put in the school at that time.
So is it possible that maybe you suffered?
No, I didn't suffer.
Okay. All right.
You didn't have to run, dude. He won.
Yes.
He won that war.
This guy.
Yeah, but this guy didn't get to put the shot or shot the put or whatever
put the shot.
Yeah.
He didn't get to participate.
Nope.
There were no winners there. Anyway, Kang, are you out?
So I've thought about this. I was upset when I first heard the news, as most people are sure. No one likes a raise in prices. And then they try to justify it with all the things you just read. I think I'm not going to say I'm fully out. So I'm not going to be, you know, that's an instant reaction. Okay.
Yep.
What I will probably do at some point moving forward is I'll just spend the same amount of money. I'm just getting less tickets. So if I spent $10 before on 5 tickets, I'll just get 2 tickets now.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
My cost won't go up.
That's what they're counting on.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. They got the math. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Even if they sell half the tickets they used to sell, they're still profiting $1 each, right? Because this is more than double.
Well, that's the thing.
Price.
It's how the math works out. Is it profitable for them? Or are too many people going to say, you know what? No.
Mm-hmm.
and then they go back to the old system.
Price adjustment.
You might see a price adjustment.
248-539-9797. We got open lines. We also have a local player declaring their intentions, whether or not they're staying or going to the league. We will get to that today at 12:02 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.